In 1 John 19, it reads, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." We can infer that the wicked one is Satan, and he is really making his imprint in today's world. I hope to inform you of the troubles he has caused us and make our duty of telling the truth a little clearer. To begin, why should we be honest? Well, the first and most straightforward reason is that he directly commands us to in Ephesians 4:25. If you would like to turn with me to Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Not only this, but lies are filth in the eyes of God. God groups sorcerers, murderers, idolaters with liars, and casts them outside of heaven, according to Revelations 22:15. This implies that lying is the equivalent of murder in God's eyes. There are only two places to go when you you're judged by God. It's either heaven or hell. And with heaven out of the picture, if you're a liar, there's only one destination. And this is backed up by Revelations 21:8. If you would like to flip with me to Revelations 21:8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake with burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In Colossians 3:9, it reads, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. When you've repented, you've simply grown out of an old t-shirt and put on a new one." Let's say you put on the wrong one. Not only would you not like it, but you would long to put on the regular one. There are also consequences of dishonesty, like, for example, the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5:1-11. The Bible shows you why you should be honest. Now, let's take a look at how God's perspective on lying. Ephesians 5:3 reads, "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. As Christians, we should speak fitting and proper." Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife or envy." In Mark 15:11, the priests stir up the crowd, making them want Jesus crucified. We could influence other people like the chief priests did, just for better means. In Proverbs 6:17, it explains that God hates the lying tongue, bringing an even greater incentive for you not to lie. Now, not lying is one thing, but telling the full truth is another. In 2 Corinthians 13:7, if you'd like to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13:7. It reads, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified." Notice how it includes the word honorable. In a conversation, someone could ask you what you were doing. You could very well do something else and use that and still be telling the truth. Like Judas and Jesus, or Jacob and Esau, they weren't directly telling a lie, but they were still deceiving. You'd still be tricking them, and that's where the word honorable comes into play. Again, in Ephesians 5:4, it lists more reasons. If you'd flip with me to Ephesians 5:4. It states, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Foolish talking is not just limited to lying. It is also a form of deceiving. Deceiving in general is a sin. There's even more in 2 Corinthians 12:6, if you'd like to flip with me to 2 Corinthians 12:6. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. And in Mark 15:11, where the priest stirred up the crowd, you can infer they must not have been telling the whole truth, if not a lie, or the crowd would not have chosen Jesus to die. Now that you can see the line between what's a lie and what's not, now it's time for the results of what I talked about. For result, for one, people won't doubt you as much. I don't think you'd ever hear someone tell you to be cautious of what Jesus had said. Secondly, along with no doubt, you wouldn't be asked to swear on anything which is strictly forbidden in Matthew 5:33-37. Not being asked for an oath would be a relief, since if they ask and you decline, it's kind of assumed that you're lying. If I said, I have $20 million in the bank, and you asked me, well, would you swear on that? I said, no, but I can assure you that I have $20 million in the bank. It really just doesn't work, and it really looks like I'm lying. A negative result of lying could be that lying usually catches up with you, like Joseph's brothers, when their dad realized his supposedly dead son is standing right in front of them, and also how Joseph can decide if the brothers can starve to death or not. As I conclude, I'll tell you what to do when you lie. You need to use prayer to ask for forgiveness when you commit a sin like praying. As said in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You need to recognize why you should be honest, God's perspective on honesty, and I recognize how to use the full truth. With great power, like your mouth, comes great responsibility, also like your mouth.